You ever have a goal that just consumes you and it's all that you think about? It helps you get up in the morning, look forward to the day and accomplishing that, whether it be waiting for that movie, doing a project in which you enjoy. Perhaps it's about finally executing the back handspring unassisted. Maybe finally getting under 7 minutes when you run a mile. It could be also something pertaining to today when we get together as family. Can't wait to see them. It's been a while. Or maybe when you host a family reunion. When we find that present in our hearts, it makes the task, whatever it is that we are about, easier. We don't do it begrudgingly. No one has to ask us. We might still get exhausted, but that won't keep us from what we want to do for too long. It's drive. It's passion. It's what demonstrates what we long to do, what we long to accomplish. And it's something that you and I need. And while you and I have many goals in this life, is eternal life among the goal? Is eternal life the priority? Do we find ourselves striving each and every day for that great gift? Every day, especially at this time of Easter, we celebrate our Lord Jesus' resurrection. We process in with the Paschal candle because it represents the risen Christ who was blessed at the Easter vigil last night to let us know indeed that He is the light of the world. Despite the overwhelming opposition that desired His death, despite the torments that He experienced, the betrayal of a friend, the mockery, the scourging, the absence of those who love Him, He came to do what He set out to do, and that is to die so that we might live. It's greater than all the combined victories of mankind, past, present, and the ones to come. It's so great because this is not simply an achievement of man, but of the God-man, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of souls, for the salvation of many. Yet Christianity is not a spectator sport in which we are to simply give a like to Jesus' resurrection today. As He made it clear to His disciples in Matthew 16, 24-25, whoever wishes to come after Me, and that is through the cross to the resurrection, He says, must deny himself, take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. And oftentimes in our culture, we just take the good things in which satisfy us and we want to jettison all those things that are too challenging, that are too trying. And we hear this particular passage and we say, well, Jesus did it all for me, right? That's why He died for me, so that I might live and do what it is ever I want to do. And that is far from the case. You know, Jesus spoke to His disciples in the same way that He speaks to us, because He has great love for us. Because He knows that in order for us to have that gift of eternal life with Him, then we must live as He lived. That it's not enough for us to profess Him as Lord and Savior. Even in Scripture we find that. Some will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we perform mighty deeds in Your name? Didn't we drive out demons in Your name? And Jesus replied, depart from Me, I never knew you. This is something that should really shake our bones, really question where it is that we fall in line in terms of Jesus as our goal. If we want what Jesus offers, and that is eternal life in heaven, it starts with entering that relationship with Him by the sacrament of baptism, and then trying to build that desire within our hearts each and every day for Him. Like anything in life, it requires effort. We got a friendship that we need to mend. It's going to take humility. It's going to take recognizing some of the wrongs that we've done in that relationship. It requires communication. It requires that effort. If we want to provide a better life for our growing family, it's going to require sacrifices, things not going according to my timetable. Adapting. With this passion, with this drive, we then learn to prioritize. Because we know it's important. We know it's what must be done. And the same goes with Jesus. He has to be number one. He has to be number one. You know, the cries in which we let out today, they sound so great. You know, we sing, you know, Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. Alleluia, Jesus is alive and well. And then we go home and eat potato salad and forget about Jesus. And the fact is that that is not something that should satisfy us. That is something that we should regret. That is something in which we should say, well, wait a minute, why am I here? Why am I in this house of God right now? What brought me here? Some of us, it's because we've been pulled by the ear, right? We've been told you have to come if you want that potato salad, right? You know, others, right, you know, have just been saying, well, this is just part of our ritual, part of our rite, part of being Catholic. You know, I'm just here because I hear there's a gift after Mass. And the reality is that, you know, when we come here, you know, when we have drive, when we have passion, undoubtedly, you know, especially if it's something that takes a while, you know, talking about months, years, and for this, all our lives, we get exhausted, we get tired, right? We lose our focus. We begin to look at the things in which glitter, right? The things in which captivate our eyes, our senses, and then we go towards that, like a moth to the fire. And all the while, you know, this underlying reality of Jesus' resurrection must be at the forefront of our minds. Because at the end of our lives, this is what matters. Not the trophies, not all the goals that we will do, not the things and awards and recognition. Jesus is what matters. And today is about reminding ourselves of that reality. Today is about impressing upon our hearts that this is what we should be standing for. Because Jesus Christ has demonstrated for us that He is victorious, that He won over Satan, that He won over death. And if that is the case, why do we want to be on the losing side? Why do we want to choose the things that are against God? Why are we so afraid to speak of godly things and to bring that hope in the world? If you and I share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the joy in which He gives to us this day, then it must show in each and every interaction that we have with other people. You know, we've got to be charitable, we've got to be understanding. You know, sometimes, you know, we are so fine with the resurrection of Jesus because that sounds really good. Not dying. But then we divorce all the things that are tied to it. You know, we have a hard time, for example, with forgiveness. We want to hold on grudges. We want to keep drinking the poison and tell the other one to die because of what they've done for us. And Jesus tells us very clearly that we will have no life with Him if we do not give that over to Jesus. And it's not about letting it go. It's not about saying it wasn't that bad. It's not about saying that person was worthy enough to receive forgiveness. None of that. It's simply saying, I'm looking to You, Jesus, and I know that this life that I'm living right now with the grudges, with the unforgiveness, it's eating away at me. It's tearing away my identity. Jesus, I need You. And it's about time that we look upon Jesus and ask Him for that grace to free us from that shackle, to free us from that which binds us. And oftentimes we live with that grudge. We live with that hurt. And it does nothing to the other individual, but does everything to us and all things negative. And so that's one thing we have to bring before the Lord. Another thing too is Holy Mass. What a precious gift. Jesus, when He was about to eat the Passover with His disciples, said something very interesting. He said, as we recall on Holy Thursday Mass, I have greatly desired, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I always think that what an odd thing to say. I have earnestly desired to have this meal with you. Jesus was well aware that He was getting ready to face His death. And yet this was something that He earnestly desired to do. Was He super hungry? Was there something there at the Passover meal that could only be eaten every once every 10 years, some delicious delicacy? Why is it that Jesus desired to be with His disciples days before He would die and have that meal with them? Because at the Passover was the remembrance of how it was that God had delivered His people, and that it was at this Passover, where there celebrated with the Last Supper, that Jesus was instituting something new, and that was the Holy Eucharist. to say, well, this is how you will have a share with me. Because Jesus Christ knew that he was going to go, that he was going to die, he wanted them to still have access to him. And so Jesus said, this is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. He gives us his very self. He says, if you live as my disciple, then this is how you will be sustained. If you live as my disciple, then I will not leave you orphaned. If you live as my disciple, this holy body and blood that will be given to you as food is that which will nourish you, is that which will strengthen you, is that which will just launch your life of faith in this world. And sometimes, you know, we hear that and we think, okay, well, that's great. You know, you might have earnestly desired, I never asked for it. When the Son of God, though, says these things, he says it with intentionality. And it's only to our detriment if we don't listen. Or how about offering help to the poor, to the forsaken, to the lost? How many times do we turn a blind eye toward that and say, well, you know, I'll just say a prayer and that'll be fine, you know, and we don't recognize the needs of the poor, you know, we don't hear the cries and try to find concrete ways by which to help them. Not to just give a quick handout, but to really help them out of that rut. To help them see that life is indeed worth living. That there's a reason for us to have hope. If we intend to give more than lip service to our joy that we give over the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then it means he must be our goal. He must be the reason of our passion, the reason of our hope, that desire to bring others to him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way to salvation. Or else we just simply make a mockery of what Jesus did. We make a mockery of the fact that God had sent his only beloved Son. He didn't owe us anything. But God, out of love for us, out of his magnanimous love for us, had sent his beloved Son so that we might hopefully get through our hard heads, our hardened hearts, and realize that maybe there's something there with the love of God. Despite the fact that we've gone through hardships ourselves, despite the fact that we have gone through doubt ourselves, the difficulties in which we have transpired in this life certainly cause us to buckle down on our knees and cry out to God, you know, do you really exist? Are you really here? Do you really love me? And I think especially during those moments, those times in our lives that we all experience, those dark moments, that is where we look upon the cross. I love the fact that we have the crucifix here and not something where that shows the risen Jesus. You're not supposed to have that in churches anyways. You know, you're supposed to have the crucifix. Why? Because then it demonstrates to us that Jesus is our advocate, the one who understands our pain, the one who knows what it is that we're going through. The one who's not simply just focused on the fact that, well, I've risen from the dead, so see you later. He's the one that says, you know, I relate to all the pain that you go through. I relate to everything in which you endure. You've been betrayed, so have I. You've undergone tremendous pain, so have I. You find yourself lost. Why do you think I cried out to the Father? In all these ways, Jesus, amazingly enough, the God-man Jesus Christ, wants to be our friend. But it's about turning our hearts to him. It's about paying heed to him. It's about no longer following Jesus in the way that suits my needs, but the way in which suits his, as that is the way to eternal life. It is about following the Father's will, as he always spoke of, not his. It means our prayer life has got to be like oxygen to our lungs. We can't go a moment without it. It means showing that mercy and charity to all. It means living in the supernatural of our faith. The faith that desires to see the sick healed and mountains move. It means desiring what he desired his disciples to receive at the Last Supper. to partake of His sacred body and precious blood. The Father wants to infuse within us His joy and passion over His Son's victory over death. And I know as we're living life, we can lose that focus. We all have that. My hope and prayer today is that as we are here together in prayer before our Heavenly Father, offering to Him the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus, that we find that renewed conviction, that we find that renewed drive, that we find that renewed passion by which to go after it, the true goal of eternal life. How we live demonstrates how much we value His sacrifice. God demonstrated that your life was worth dying for.